I want to encourage you tonight not to be discouraged. Jesus is God in the flesh, and He cannot lie. And if He says, "The works that I do, shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father," that is exactly the way it is. You say, "Well, I've been praying a long time. I've been coming a long time. Dave's been praying even longer than that. And you've been praying, Gary. And we don't see it all happening yet." Don't be discouraged. What are you going to do? Just go down and you can go sit in the congregations I grew up in that just tell you it all passed away. No, it didn't pass away. Press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank God we've at least found a path that we can get our feet on to get us there. I don't know what I don't know. That's called a mystery. I don't know. You know, that's really Romans 8:26. Well, why isn't it happening? I don't know what I don't know yet. I don't know what to pray as I ought. I don't even know what questions to ask. Thank God there's a Holy Ghost who, when I don't know what to pray as I ought, He'll make intercession for me according to the perfect will of God. He will get us there. You continue on down there a couple of verses and it says, God predestinated those He foreknew. He saw all of us down through time. You do know it was no surprise to Him when Adam fell. You do know that. He already had Christ crucified in His mind before the foundation of the world. He knew that. And He made a decision that He will not repent from. He says, my purpose is all those down through history, all those that will believe, my plan is they be conformed to the image of my Son. The first Adam was certainly made in the image of God's Son. We've been studying that here lately. Y'all know the story from Genesis, how God made, He took the dust of the earth and clay, and He made the body of Adam, made the body of man. Then it says, God breathed life, the life into the nostrils, and man became a living soul. And then one day while I was in prayer and meditation, that verse out of John, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. No, not one single thing," in the Greek. And right then I saw in a vision, I saw the pre-incarnate Christ, the second member of the Godhead, the eternal Word. I saw Jesus in the garden. He was the one holding that lifeless clay. And He was the one that breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. And then I knew man was originally made with the nature of the Son of God. Now with that nature, then the Holy... And then God says, let them have dominion. And by the way, male and female created He them, and He called them Adam, the race of mankind. Women, you have just as much inheritance as any hairy-legged man in here. It's the race of Adam. Let them have dominion. So what was God's... And the Holy Spirit was the one He was speaking to, the same Holy Spirit He'd been speaking to all through that chapter. Let there be light. Let there be birds. Let there be land. Let there be this. And every time God would speak, the Holy Spirit would do. And now God's speaking again. He said, let them have dominion. So now man is made with the nature of Christ on the inside, the nature of the Son, and then anointed by the Holy Ghost for dominion in the earth. That was God's plan. He already lived. God already lived in a creation of His called heaven. We call it invisible. It's not invisible to Him, but it's invisible to us. I don't really think it's way out there somewhere. I think it's as close as your cheek. I think it's the closer thing, instead of being another planet, I think it's more closely would be something more like another dimension. In Him we live and move and have our being. I think it's so close it's not even a step away from you. I think the veil between that realm and this realm is getting so thin, I can almost feel, I can almost breathe the air from there sometimes. I think. You know, Dave wasn't kidding that day that during a conference, maybe it was a recent one, I don't remember, he was right in here somewhere, the presence of heaven, that invisible realm, was so on him. He stopped and, you know, Dave doesn't do things. Now, he'll tell jokes theatrically, but he doesn't do things for theater. He's not pretending. And he stopped and he kind of looked behind. He actually expected to see an angel or something. It was the presence of heaven was so close. The membrane was so thin. He was just with his natural eye expecting to see. Didn't quite see it. But I think we're getting really close to that. But in the going back to the original, God's original plan, he had already had this invisible kingdom called heaven where he ruled. What was in it? Angels, beings that he had created. But angels, you know, they're created to serve. They're not really the same as, they're not really made in the God class. And it wasn't enough. He says, I'm going to create another realm. Now, I don't know what he calls it. He calls it Earth. Or maybe we call it the universe. It's the seen world, what we call the material realm. He's extending his kingdom now from an unseen realm to a seen realm. And he's going to, how I intend to rule is like this. We're going to make a species of humans, male and female. I'm going to create them. I'm going to put the nature of my own son in them. And I'm going to anoint them with my own spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to rule the material world through humans with my nature on the inside and anointed with the Holy Spirit for dominion. That was God's plan. Well, here comes the enemy. And by the way, the enemy fell long before there ever was a material universe. Dave's taught on that several times. Says, I saw him. And from the beginning, he was a liar. Well, not from the beginning of all creation. He was created without any sin in him, it says. He was created perfect. So what does it mean in the beginning? Well, it means in the very beginning before we even had a beginning. He'd already fallen. Yes, sir. Okay. Well, all right. God says, I'm going to simplify the gospel in these last days. I'm going to make it so simple, the wayfaring fool. Children are going to operate. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Children are going to operate in my anointing more readily than adults. For they have a mind that will receive it and not clutter it with trivialities. Anyway, I better not add to this. Kingdom lost. What happened? God's original plan, we just spoke it. Here comes the enemy. Through deception, through lies, he was already a liar. He deceives Eve. Gets her to violate the plain word of God. Now, the Bible doesn't lay sin to her charge because she was deceived. It lays the sin to Adam's charge, which means he was not deceived. With full knowledge, he chose the creation over the Creator. He chose knowingly to violate what God had directly told him. The Bible says that through that sin, death entered into the world. Two things happened here. Satan accomplished really two things at once to cause it to become kingdom lost. Then, as soon as Adam sinned, his nature changed. Death came into him. You've seen me teach before. I don't think it really was like this, but the Holy Spirit showed it to me like this, trying to get it across to me, because the question always comes up, well, God, couldn't you just forgive Adam and let him go? But the problem was a lot more severe than that, because his nature changed. And in a vision form one day, now don't write me any letters, God was just trying to get it across to me, I saw like Adam's spirit became like a monster. I mean, all of a sudden he had like tentacles coming out of his forehead and had like three eyes, and he, you know, all bent over and kind of green looking and slobber coming out of his mouth, and he just looked like a monster. And so here comes God in the garden, and here's Adam, you know, it's all slobbery looking and just like a three-eyed monster with tentacles coming out of his forehead, and he's standing before God, and Adam really can't see what happened to him. He's looking at God, and God can see what happened to him. And he's going, God, can't you just forgive me? And God's going, I'm going to forgive you. I'm about to kill an animal right here and cover you in the blood. A type of Christ. I'm about to forgive you. But listen, there's a lot bigger problem here than just forgiveness. I want more than just to forgive you and leave you like you are. I want you back the way I originally made you. Glory to God. I want you made back in the image of my Son. See, the first thing that the enemy accomplished was that nature changed on the inside of man. But the second thing, and this is what really lost the kingdom, in the same way that the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove in the New Testament, I've seen it now. Reluctantly, the Holy Spirit had to lift off of Adam, because he cannot anoint sin and death. The nature that was in man, he cannot anoint that. He anoints the nature of Christ. So it's a kingdom lost. The nature of man had changed, and now he had lost his link, the power connection. He'd lost the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost, there is no dominion. Even Jesus, who walked sinless until all of the days of his life, right up till the day he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, he'd walked sinless his whole life. Yet he had never done one miracle, never opened a blind eye, never turned any water to wine or anything else until the Holy Spirit came on him. Because what we're seeing there that day, even though he wouldn't physically go to the cross for about another 3 years, that day he comes to be baptized by John. John didn't even understand why. One thing's for sure, Jesus wasn't coming to have his sins washed away. John says, Lord, I need to be baptized by you. You don't need to be baptized by me. And all Jesus said to him, he didn't fully explain it. He just said, we just need to fulfill all righteousness. Just do it, John. But now I understand what was going on there. In the heavenly courts, God the Father is watching this. And Jesus, even though he's not physically going to die for another 3 years, he's like making a visual statement before the Father. When John lays, he's going, Father, I know why I was born. I know why I'm here, to die for the sins of man. When John lowers me into the water, I'm telling you, Father, I accept the assignment. I am going to die. But Father, when he raises me up, that's also a visual demonstration of my faith. You will not leave my soul in hell. You will not leave me to see corruption. Father, I'm trusting you to raise me to new life again. And when he raised up, the Father watched all this. The Father looks at the heart, his Son that cannot lie, and he says, it's like a gavel came down in heaven. Bam! And the judge of all things says, I accept this vow as an established fact. I declare this day, this is my Son. What he means by that vow, Jesus died in the place of Adam. Adam, positionally in heaven, officially was dead. Now God is free to reassign the dominion, the authority of the earth to the new Adam. Who would be the candidate for that? That's what he means when he said, this is my Son. I anoint you today. And with those words, here comes the Holy Spirit. Once more, there's a man with the nature of the Son on the inside of him. The old Adam positionally is dead. God's free to reassign that dominion. And the Holy Spirit comes now to anoint this last Adam. And the kingdom, once more, is established in the earth. God's kingdom has come. What was Jesus' very first message? The kingdom of God is at hand. Then he says, repent and believe the gospel. What gospel? That gospel. I have come and recaptured the kingdom for you. God's kingdom is here. You don't have to be blind anymore. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to be poor anymore. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Repent and believe it. Now notice two things. Satan accomplished two things for us to lose the kingdom. And Jesus restored both of those things for us to get it back. Number one, he had to put that nature back on the inside of you. Secondly, and this is where we're headed now, we have to start. Well, that word repent, I'm sure you've all heard it before. All it really means, repent means turn around 180 degrees and walk the other way. So if you've been going this way, let's call going that direction the way of the world. And all of us were trained the way of the world. I mean, I was 33 years old before I got born again. So I was high, and I have a college degree. I have an industrial engineering degree from Oklahoma State University. I know I don't talk like it, but I do anyhow. I do that for your benefit, by the way. I are educated. I don't care what you think. And one day I was I'll just go ahead and tell you, I was going to be nicer than this. Minding my own business, praying in tongues over at the ugly building. Praying. You know, you want to get a, you know, you want to feel the brush of an angel's wing. You want to hear Gabriel's trumpet. You want lights from heaven or something. Here's what I heard. Best I can remember it, best I can say it. I'm praying. And the Holy Ghost says, well, you're highly trained in demonic thinking and educated in a fallen world. I have a lot of work to do. Highly trained in demonic thinking. What does that mean? Well, I was 33 years old, trained by a deaf nature and religion, which will keep. Trained by deaf nature and religion, that's enough. He's trying to make me nicer, I think. And then, you know, we go to higher levels of education, and there's nothing wrong with education. I believe in education. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay, I'll do it. Normally, whatever field you're highly educated in, that's the area where you have the hardest time receiving miracles. Yeah. Now see, mechanics would have a hard time with what I'm about to say. I'm not a mechanic, trust me. This really happened, how long had we been saved? Before, I was still doing the construction, so maybe 80, this was 1986, maybe 85. This was in the years when Sue and I were doing the prison ministry. No church or anybody was funding it. We made our own money and paid for our own ministry. Thank you very much. And also running a construction business. I think this was before I was in. We were in real estate. And maybe not. I don't remember. Was it after? Anyway. And that's right, because we had Lazarus. We'd already raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus is a pickup, if you don't know that we, you know, in Oklahoma, you see those pickups parked out in a pasture somewhere and they're just turning to rust under a shade tree. Well, that was Lazarus. But we had to go rescue it. We raised it from the dead, got it running again, and I was using it in my construction business. Well, one time I was working way out southeast of town in southeast Broken Arrow somewhere. And, boy, it had been a hard day. I mean, if you've never done concrete work in Oklahoma, in this hot summertime when it's about 105, I wonder if you know what work is. I was tired and it was getting dark now. Everybody had already left the job. This was new construction. There wasn't anybody around. I was the last one there. It was not unusual. And I'm getting ready to go home. So I go over to my pickup to start it. I mean, it doesn't even make a groan. It doesn't, I mean, just like nothing. Just click, click. What in the world? Click. And I am bone tired. But I got to tell you, in those days, in some ways, I was more connected with heaven than I am now sometimes. You can take that part off the tape anyway. What I mean by that is, my first thought was the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm tired. I don't even want to raise the hood on this thing, Lord, and I don't know how to fix it anyway. Lord, if you'll cause this thing to start and get me home, I promise you I won't abuse the privilege. I won't take it anywhere tomorrow, Lord. I'll make sure that I get it fixed. Please, Lord, just let this thing start. And I think I said something like, now pick up, I'm going to turn this key, and when I turn it, in Jesus' name, you're going to start. Turn the key. Boom. Started right up. Glory to God. Put it in reverse, drove it home, went in, didn't even look at it. It was dark, probably 10 o'clock at night by that time. Went to bed, got up the next morning, remembered my promise. Went out, opened the hood. Y'all ready for this? The negative battery cable was completely burning too. It's just hanging there. I mean, just hanging there. It's completely separated. Burnt in two. I'm an engineer. Logically, I know there is no possible way that pickup started and got me home. But it did anyway. See, my engineering mind tells me you cannot walk on H2O unless it's frozen. But Jesus doesn't think like that. That's what the Lord meant when he says, demonically trained in a fallen and by a fallen world system. And to be nicer to ourselves, that means we think natural. That doesn't sound so bad. Natural thinking sounds a lot better than demonic thinking, doesn't it? Now, God did give us natural thinking for good reasons. I say again, this is the best example I know. If you're standing on the sidewalk about to cross the road and you look up the street, and your physical eyes tell you the bus is coming, do not step out in front of the bus. I mean, that's why God gave us these physical senses to navigate in a physical world, okay? But our problem is we've been dominated by those physical symptoms, almost symptoms, physical, what physical senses to the point almost now nothing is possible, or only what's natural is possible. That is not the mind of Christ. Yes, sir. Now, we're going through a renewal process. I'm not going to have you turn to this one. You already know what's in there. I hope I can quote it exactly right. It's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You don't have to turn there. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why is that so important? We have to have the mind of Christ, or we're not even in the beginning stages. I mean, why? Yes, sir. If you only think naturally, there's nothing for the Holy Spirit to anoint. Is that clear enough? My pickup won't start. Yeah, that's right. Now, if I'd have opened the hood, it would have reinforced that. If I'd have seen the dangling thing. Yeah. Yeah. Even more sure I'd have said, yeah, it won't start. And if I'm just naturally trained in a natural world, like most of us are, then I would have. I didn't have a cell phone. That was before cell phones were popular. I was out there by myself. I just start walking in the dark to get somewhere. Or I could begin thinking that there's more possible than just what's possible in the natural realm. Amen. Go to, open the Bible somewhere. No. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I taught on this series a long time. I mean, I taught on this chapter a lot for about a year. And I got a lot out of it then. But now I'm even getting more out of it. And the Lord's connecting it up with some things He said to me in the face-to-face documents back in 1998. To help us understand that we're still on a path. We're not there yet. We're not having, yes sir, we're not having the results of Christ because we're not thinking like Christ yet. Now this one here, I want to read you the last verse first and then back up a little bit. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, look at verses 15 and 16. He that is spiritual judges, discerns all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. And you could put in there natural man. They don't understand you because you're not normal. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Now notice, but we have the mind of Christ. That makes a nice little saying, we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? Well, first of all, remember, two things happened in order to lose the kingdom. Number one, man's nature changed. With that nature, he lost his true capacity to perceive and understand God. Dave says it this way. He says, I think the biggest thing man lost was the capacity to love. What we call love and what God calls love are two different things. Our love is very much conditional. Natural human love. I love you if you love me. You ever seen how quickly that can turn? By God, if I'm not going to have you, nobody's going to have you. I'm going to put a .38 slug right through your brain. Boy, human love turned pretty quick. God's love says, well, if you leave me, I'll die for you. A little different. Okay? Well, man's nature changed, and he could no longer even perceive, discern God, not the way he could before the fall. Now, what I mean by that, it's right here for you. Look at verse. Pick it up in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, and you could, right before it says eye and ear and all that, you could put natural. He's talking about the natural man, the unborn again man. As it is written, the natural eye has not seen, nor the natural ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. That's the unregenerate heart of man. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now I'm just going to... Such things like a pickup that will start without a negative battery cable. That would never have entered into my heart if I wasn't saved. Something in me believed that could happen. Or no matter what the problem was, my God could start the truck anyway. We're talking walking on water type stuff. Okay, but backing up here. But God hath, verse 10, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man's, and notice I got it right with a little s, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. Now he's writing this to the Corinthians because they've already been born again. So when he says now that you've been born again, we have received not the spirit of the world, little s, not that fallen, twisted, demonic, full of death spirit from fallen Adam. That's the one you had when you was born of your physical mother. But now that you've been born again, you've not received that spirit again, but the spirit which is of God. What is that? That's the nature of the Son breathed into you when you were born again. As if Jesus came once again, like he did in the garden the first time, and breathed into you his nature once more. And with that nature comes a capacity to start comprehending the things of God again. Well, you start thinking a little bit differently than a natural human. He talks about that in this very chapter. He goes on, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, that fallen, twisted, demonic, full of death spirit you received from Adam, but the spirit which is of God." You could say the nature of Christ. Why? Why was that so necessary? So that we could know the things that are freely given to us of God. Two things happened to cause us to lose the kingdom. Our nature changed and we lost the connection with the Holy Ghost. He's the power. Jesus, through the new birth, solved problem number one. And you get that nature again. Now, it comes in seed form. We've taught on all this before. It doesn't come in fully grown like an adult. It comes in like a little seed, like a grain of mustard seed. But he says if you learn how to nurture that thing, it'll become a mighty tree and take over your whole garden. Now, that's what we're after. All right? But without it, you can't even begin to comprehend the things of God. And the next one makes it so clear. He says, "This happened so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches." That's the natural, that's what OSU teaches. Or Oklahoma University, or whatever university you went to, Harvard, Yale, you name it. And it's nothing wrong with having man's wisdom for natural things. But there is a whole world of knowledge that can only be received by a person that has the nature of Christ, and they can only be taught it by God the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. This is revival stuff we're talking about. See, the natural world will tell you, a man born blind is going to stay blind until maybe now they can transplant eyes or something. But in Jesus' day, when he was walking the shores of Galilee, they sure didn't know how to do that. He operated from a world just a little bit different. And a man born blind received his sight. And then sure enough, here comes Peter after the Lord has risen. A man born lame sitting there at the gate beautiful, begging alms. Born lame. They had no way of fixing that. Born lame from his mother's womb, it says. Yet he says, "I have something for you. I didn't bring any money with me. But I have something for you. In the name of Jesus, rise up, stand up on your feet." And all of a sudden, God's hand, if you'll allow me, reached from that invisible kingdom over into the visible realm and did what no man can do. And that man received his miracle and a whole bunch more about to in our day. But we've got to be trained with this mind of Christ. We're still headed towards that in this chapter. Okay, verse 13 again. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now here it is. But the natural man, the unborn again man, the person that still has that spirit of Adam in him, that twisted, fallen, death nature, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. He has no capacity to think or believe beyond what he sees in the natural realm. He's limited by his natural senses. That kind of person will never walk on water. That kind of person will never drive home a pickup that's got a severed battery cable. By the way, I did fix it before I drove it again. Hallelujah. Did what I told the Lord. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." But the natural man can't even... That's why all your unbelieving relatives and friends think you're just a little bit nuts. Actually, you're the one that's sane. You're perceiving the universe as it truly exists. As God truly created. They're the ones that are blinded by the God of this world. Blinded by the flesh. That veil is only taken away in Christ. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus was trying to understand, how are you doing these things? We know no man can do this except he come from God. How in the world? How are you doing these things? And Jesus is trying to tell him that I'm operating from a whole different kingdom, a whole different realm than you know anything about. Well, can you tell me? You have no capacity to understand these things. Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You have to be born of God's Spirit to understand the things of God's Spirit. Well, thank God if you're sitting in here, no doubt, on a Wednesday night. Thank God you've been born again. I don't care if you're sitting on the back row there waiting till you get out of jail. You have a capacity to know some things and learn some things from another world that can help change this old fallen place. Jesus solved problem one with the new birth. But we see Him Himself from the time He was conceived in the womb of Mary right up until He was 30 years old, roughly. Until He was baptized by John. Here He is walking with that new nature. And I no doubt in my mind the Holy Ghost was teaching Him all the days of His life, the human part of Him. But notice there wasn't any dominion. Dominion doesn't come from the new nature. That's why God had to speak back in Genesis 1 to the Holy Spirit, let them have dominion. See, we are the agents of God's authority, human vessels with the nature of Christ. But the Holy Spirit is the agent of God's power. And that's why Jesus told His own disciples, He says, now, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. He solved problem one with the new birth. And He solved problem two with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And with that baptism comes the prayer language. Because now we've got to be renewed in our mind. Just like Paul said. Well, where are we going to go? He just got through saying there's no natural university you can go to and be taught these things. You've got to be taught by the Holy Ghost. And the very first thing He wants to do, He comes with that prayer language. All those mysteries that we don't know. The Holy Spirit comes. He says, if you'll let me, I'll begin praying those mysteries through you. You don't even know what, you're so naturally, let me say it the way He said it to me, you're so demonically minded. You don't even know what to ask. You don't even know what the mysteries are. You don't even know what to pray for. That's why we took the language away from you, the understanding. If you'll just trust me. And sit there and allow me to pray for you. I'll get you there as fast as is possible. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is not the one dragging His feet. Is y'all getting anything out of this? So the second thing was the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now it's been done. And we see it in Acts, don't we? Here comes Peter and the disciples that Jesus trained. And sure enough, then Paul afterwards, trained by the Holy Ghost. Not physically trained by the Lord Jesus during His earthly ministry. But trained by the Holy Ghost. Guess what? The same teacher you have. And we see Paul operating in those same things. We see it in the first century. But you know what happened? Over time, here comes religion. Here comes man's way of thinking again. And what man did was separate once more believers from the Holy Ghost. Now that brings me... Let me finish reading this. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither... Oh, get this, people. This is why in this same chapter, Paul says, when I first came to you, I only had one message, and that's Christ crucified. You know why? Until they're born again, they have no capacity to be taught anything else about the kingdom. They're in the same position as Nicodemus. Jesus says, I've been trying to tell you about it using earthly examples, parables. And if you can't understand when I'm talking about earthly things, how would you understand if I talk to you about heavenly things? Nicodemus, you must be born again. Isn't that good stuff? That's what he's saying right here. He's saying the natural man, I don't care how hard he tries, they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know these things because they are spiritually discerned. A child that day with the pickup, if a child's legs was long enough to reach the pedals, you don't have to have a college degree to believe God. A child could have got that pickup home if he had faith in God. You understand what I'm saying? Now, we don't put God to foolish tests. If your gas gauge says your tank is on empty, my recommendation, put some gas in it. But I'm beginning to understand that old lady, the old woman that Dave tells us about from Oregon. Her and her friends, they were those kind of ladies, you know, they're all shrunk up now, you know. They'd get in the car, they couldn't hardly look through the steering wheel. Here we go, sonny. And they'd go down to Tijuana. And he was talking with, he says, you know, three little old ladies, probably 80 years old or something, said, we'd have a flat tire. None of us knows how to change a flat tire. Well, what would you do? We'd stand there and look at the tire and we'd go, in the name of Jesus, air up. And they go, and we'd drive on to Tijuana. Witness for Jesus. She says, now this next thing you can't tell anybody. They'll lock me up. She said, if we didn't have money for gasoline, we fill the tank up with the garden hose. And we drove to Tijuana. Now see, the natural man has no capacity at all to believe those kind of things. I can just imagine the looks on a lot of people's faces getting this tape if they've not been born again. They go, oh, there they go again. You know? It's funny who they call when they need prayer. Anyway. Now, does that mean you can just tempt the Lord thy God? You got plenty of money in your wallet to buy gas and your car needs gas? You put gas in the car. But if you're ever in a situation and you're on a mission, you also have a God who makes a way where there is no way. He opens a Red Sea. He hadn't forgot the recipe from manna, and he can still bring water out of the rock. And I'm pretty sure if he can turn water into wine, he can turn it into gasoline if he needs to. Y'all do know there are H2O. There is nothing of grape in H2O. I mean, you can dissect it, you can boil it, you can break it down into hydrogen and oxygen. Nowhere in there, you can scientifically analyze it till your brains roll out on the floor. There is no grape, nothing of grape, no essence of grape in H2O. That is a creative miracle. He turned it into wine from water. What would be the problem turning it to gasoline? Why does our mind have such a problem with that? Demonically trained in a fallen world. Well, back in 1998, one day, while I was just praying, the Lord told me this and I wrote it down. I'm real faithful to do that and I don't change it. I've read it to you before. And we're talking about the mind of Christ. He that is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do we have it? Number one, you have the capacity when you got born again to begin understanding spiritual things. Then you receive the Holy Spirit as your teacher. And now, little by little by little, he is reprogramming your thinking. He is renewing your mind to begin to think like the Lord thinks, that all things are possible type of mentality. And even beyond there, at whatever level of maturity you are, then he begins breathing you instructions from the head of the church. And you can see that in Acts 16 later. We don't have time to get into it tonight, but here's Paul and Silas, I believe it was, and they didn't know what to do next. And they were thinking, maybe we should go to Bithynia, maybe we should go to Mysia. And the Holy Spirit brought them instructions in the form of a dream directly from the mind of Christ. So you can receive instructions. But tonight he's not talking so much about instructions as he's talking about getting you where you think like him. And all things are possible type of mentality. So I was minding my own business again, praying at the ugly building. I don't mind to tell you, it was September 2nd, 1998. If you want to read this one, it's at the website or it's on your DVD. It's called The Works of the Father. F980902, The Works of the Father. Now, the Holy Spirit is our link between heaven and earth. He is omnipresent. He is instantly with you on earth and at that same instant with Jesus in heaven. Can you understand that? And at that same instant with Daisy on earth and at that same instant with Jesus in heaven and at that same instant with Gary and Dave and Tim and everybody here. Only the Holy Spirit is qualified to do this. He is our link to heaven. What did Jesus say? I have many things to say unto you. But I cannot say them to you now. They weren't born again. But He, the Spirit of truth, He is going to teach you all things. He's going to guide you into all these things. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to take of mine and show it unto you. The Holy Spirit is our connection. He is our link from heaven. So I was minding my own business, and here comes the Holy Ghost. And I'll just quote it. If the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this. Oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as He brings my mind to them. For His mind is the will of the Father. His mind, talking about the mind of Christ, is made fully known under the Spirit of truth, and the Comforter will take of His and show all things unto His brethren if they will sit, listen, and hearken as the Spirit brings the voice of Him who speaks from heaven to the earth. Now listen to this next part. This is the part that got me. And I'm really only understanding it in more completeness now. Understanding about the restoration of the kingdom. Okay? The enemy, I hear you asking of me, what is the mindset of Christ Jesus concerning the enemy? Christ Jesus does not consider wars, pestilence, famine, disease, divisions, factions, greed, avarice, witchcraft, murders, and the like to be the finest work of the enemy. He sees all of these things as being byproducts of the enemy's only, get this, only valid triumph. Does it make you curious to know what that triumph is? Did me. All of these things are byproducts of the communication being severed between the believer and the mind of Christ. There is no defeat where the mind of Christ is known and acted upon, says the Spirit of grace. By severing believers from fellowship and communion with the Comforter, the mind of Christ is seldom known. Where the mind of Christ is not known, the will of the Father cannot be performed. Before tonight, I have understood it in this light. Let's go back to Paul and Silas in that situation. See, I was raised in a denomination that you could chisel over the door. That part of Mark's gospel that says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And they take that as a license to go into all the world. Yet when I would read Acts 16 and Paul and Silas were thinking about going into Bithynia, isn't Bithynia part of the world? I mean, the way I was raised up, well, hey, where are you going to go? Let's go to Bithynia. Okay, God's hand is on you, go. Yet the Holy Spirit, who was receiving the mind of Christ, says, no, don't go to Bithynia. Well, maybe we ought to go to Asia. No. Don't go to Asia. Remember what Jesus said? He said, now the Holy Spirit, He's not going to speak on His own authority. What He hears, that's what He speaks to you. So who's making those decisions? Is it the Holy Ghost? No, He's the link. He's the communicator. So I've understood it in that sense. And I said, well, boy, right there is a big part of the problem. We're all running around doing what's in our mind to do instead of what's in His mind to do. And He has a reason. Now, later on, by the way, Paul did go to Asia. That's Ephesus. He spent there 2 years and had great revival. But there's a timing of the Lord. Let's say, get this. Jesus is alive and well. He intends to run the church. And the connecting link is the Holy Ghost. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about since the book of Acts. It's talking about born-again believers when religion came and took away the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Took away that you could pray in tongues anytime you want to. Took away all that understanding back in the first century. And now we've had 2,000 years of rubbish covering up those original foundation stones. We don't even know how to get in touch with heaven. So here we just go into whatever part of the world that we decide to do, and God blesses it all He can, but it's just not the same as having the mind of Christ. It's just not the same. So I've had that understanding about getting instructions from heaven for direction for a long time. Thank God for Dave Roberson. Thank God for this message. Thank God that I, for the praying in other tongues. But now He's bringing us into something. What He's, and I hope I'm saying it, the real emphasis that He's talking about right now, we don't think like Him. We have such limited thinking, it's scary. So I'm going to back up to the beginning of this and read you just a little bit. Well, before I do, let me finish reading this highlighted part. He said that all of those other things are byproducts of the communication being severed between the believer, not unbelievers, between the believer and the Holy Ghost, because it cuts off your communication from heaven. So he says, he continues, every victory obtained by the enemy stems from a single root. That root being broken fellowship and lack of communion with the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter who has been sent by the Father and the Son. All tragedy, all defeat, all terror, all division, and all works of death stem from this single root, says the Spirit of Grace. My Lord. It is inconceivable to the mind of Christ Jesus that there could be any darkness in the Father's counsel at all. There is no defeat in the mind of Christ. As the Father sent Him into the garden, so now the Son has sent His brethren into the Father's garden to dress it, to keep it, and to restore all things to the Father's will. That's another way of saying the kingdom has been restored. Now go and restore all these things that the enemy has done back to the Father's will. That's Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. Now this next part's free. It's previews of coming attractions. Did God give Adam, the whole species, dominion over all the works of His hands? He did, didn't He? How much more then to the restored race from the second Adam, the second man, the last Adam, not only have dominion over God's, the works of His hands, but how about all of the things that the devil brought in through the fall? I mean, there was no sickness in the garden. There was no poverty in the garden. There was no blind people in the garden. There was none of that. If God originally, just to restore back to the original, we have dominion over the works of God's hands. How much more over anything the devil did? And yet religion, if you're not careful, they'll about half convince you that a lot of stuff the devil's doing is God. I mean, religion can make you so stupid, I don't know how you can live and still breathe, you know? And I'm one of them. Demonically trained. Not only by the world system, but by religion. You don't ever, ever see Jesus saying the kind of stuff you hear preachers saying. walking up to somebody with cancer and say, "Well, I know I'd like to pray for you, but my father put that on you to humble you, and I just can't go against the father's will." You know there not one time ever is there anything like that, ever. You have to have religion to get that done. It's just the truth. It's the sad truth. I mean, anyway, going too far. Let's talk about the mind of Christ. We only got about 10 more minutes here. Get back up to the beginning of this. The Holy Spirit, this particular one, he says, "I'm going to bring you the mindset of Christ in two stages, says the Spirit of grace. I will first speak of the mindset of Jesus of Nazareth during the days of his earthly ministry in the flesh." So let's talk about that first. Now, we're supposed to let the mind of Christ be in us. The Holy Spirit is renewing us to think like him. So as I say these things, and just compare it with your normal everyday thinking. All right? Now this is the kind of thinking Jesus had in his brain while he's on planet Earth, not where he is now. Okay? All right? So far, so good. Say this. Or you would agree with this. I am born of my Father in heaven. Okay? I am born from above. Say this. I and my Father are one. Really? Religion tells you that you're just an old slimy dog worm. But Jesus, he says, I and my Father are one. And if we don't get that same mindset in us, we're not going to have the same results. Would you say that Jesus is a king? See, normally what happens, we start teaching faith and kingdom realities. And because of the immaturity, you start thinking, I'm a king. I'm a king's kid. I have rights and privileges. And you know what that normally translates to because we're so immature? Well, I need a better car. I need a better house. I need better clothes. Because we've not... See, the true king, the only model that we have, he who is master of the wind and the waves. He who speaks and the winds stop and the seas become calm. That level of kingship, that level of authority, and at the same time, totally 100% surrendered to the will of the Father. That is exactly the same nature in us that's got to come to fruition. That's the nature that the Holy Spirit anoints. That's what... Goodbye to me. That's what's got to come to maturity in us. Anyway, let me go on a little further. Say, my Father has anointed my life, the life of Christ in me, with his own Spirit. My Father's Spirit is in me and upon me to manifest my Father's will. Nothing is impossible to my Father. All things are possible by his Spirit. An enemy has brought great ruin to my Father's kingdom. I have authority from my Father and power by his Spirit to restore all the damage that this enemy has done. This is the will of my Father, who sent me, that all things be restored to his original intent and purpose. When that part right there becomes a reality in us, when we wake up in the morning with our first consciousness, Lord, I'm looking forward to destroying more of the devil's works today. Lord, where are you going to send me today? Where you want to go? Blind eyes? Today is it blind eyes? Or are we going after deaf ears today, Lord? What about the children's hospital, Lord? And I don't mean like a vague conscious thought. I mean, it'll be as real to you as whatever you did today. I'm not a bookkeeper. I'm not a mechanic. You are all those things. But above all those things, I am a child of God. Sent, anointed by the Holy Ghost to undo the works of the devil wherever I find them. And do it all in the name of Jesus and give Him all the glory. Amen. To bring God's kingdom. What did Jesus say for us to pray? Father, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was God's original plan. His will was already being done in heaven in that invisible realm. If He created an earth, a visible realm, and He wanted His kingdom to come here, His will to be done here, like it's being done there, how is He going to do it? Through human beings with the life of the Son on the inside of them and anointed by the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what He's come back to. God's not a quitter. And what He originally intended, that is exactly how it's going to be. And eventually, who's going to be a new heaven? New earth? How about that? Let's talk about that 1,000 years. Here's going to be Adam, Jesus, the last Adam, in the garden with His bride. That's called the church. That's all of us. And the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And Adam, is going to get to live out his day. Adam has not yet... You know, the first one died at 900 and some odd years. Dave would know exactly. Didn't live out that day. God's not a quitter. He's going to live out that day. We're going to live it with Him. Hello, Eve. I look in the mirror at me. I go, hello, Eve. Yet I'm also a son. Yes, sir. You could read this whole thing. There's 6 pages. I'm not going to near get through this. It's at the website. This one, again, it's in the face-to-face documents. If you want to study this at length. This one is The Works of the Father. It's the title on it, The Works of the Father. Let me go just a little bit farther here. He said it this way. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, now on earth, the way His mindset was, He reckoned Himself to be a vessel for His Father's life. He reckoned Himself to be a vessel for His Father's will. He reckoned Himself to be a vessel for His Father's dominion. And He reckoned Himself to be a vessel through whom the Father could work by the Spirit of the Father to restore all things to the Father's will. Jesus of Nazareth reckoned Himself to be the vessel of the Father's authority. How often do we think of ourselves like that? Most of our days we're trying to figure out how to escape our problems. You know, that's exactly what Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, His message was, the kingdom is here. The kingdom has come. I have restored the kingdom to you. You need to repent. You need to change the way you're thinking. You're not a slave anymore. You're not a servant to the world anymore. You're a king with authority. You need to think like that. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. How does he do it? Cares, persecutions, the things of this world, all that. I call it the devil of same old. The same old problems. Who, you know, yeah, I'm a king, but I can't pay my Sears bill. My car won't start. I was a king before I left the house. I walked out and there was a flat on my car. And suddenly I don't feel very much like a king. All of that, everything is designed to steal the message out of you and make you think you're just still an old slave. No, we are kings of the living God. We are kings of the living God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Who do you think that's talking about? Glory to God. We are priests and kings. Did you know that? The priest part represents His character. The king part represents His dominion. Priests and kings. And what's sad is we've had the few that have tapped into very much dominion. Pretty soon we don't see His character. That's the part that he wants different in this revival. This time he wants maturity, the priestly part also, where when the dominion comes, we're not selling the anointing. We're not selling prophecies, not cutting our shirts up into 1-inch squares and selling them for $100. Glory to God. Same character. Character. God's character. See, that's the same two things again. What was it that brought the kingdom down? Changed the nature on the inside. Lost the Holy Spirit on the outside. What has God done for us? Given us His nature on the inside. Anointed us with His Spirit on the outside. Glory to God. Say this with me and we're going to close with this. Say, the best is yet to come. Say it again. The best is yet to come. I'm not discouraged. I'm excited. Jesus! Tulsa is saved. I have what I say. No matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if the battery cable is dangling. Doesn't matter what I see. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa is in revival. Tulsa is saved. I think you better shout about that. Hallelujah! Glory to God! We have the mind of Christ. All things are possible. All things are possible. Hallelujah. I think I'm shouting too much for the microphone here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Telling you, we haven't seen nothing yet. Don't you get discouraged. Don't you get discouraged. I don't care if the seats get fewer than this. I don't care if we're down to nubbins. Y'all know nubbins? Nubbins ain't much. God doesn't need much. I'm telling you, we're going to have it. We are going to have this revival. Don't you get discouraged. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for these things that's been hidden for so long. Thank you, Lord, for removing the trash, removing the foolish religion off of the foundation stones, Lord, where we can once more see these paths to walk in. Lord, there isn't any new truth, but thank you for letting us rediscover the original truth that you laid down. Father, we're not discouraged. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep fasting. We're going to keep walking in the light that you've shown us. And Father, we're going to possess the land. We are well able to take it, for thou art with us. Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for a group of people who will not settle for less than your best. Father, I thank you for a group of people that just, their hunger will not let them let go of the vision you've given us. Father, bless them as they go. Bring them safely back again. We give you praise for all of these things in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Now, if you came specifically for prayer, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you and let you go. If you came specifically for prayer...